Oftentimes in a Christmas message, we stress the shepherds, and we will look at the shepherds. We stress the wise men. Of course, we always stress baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But I want us to give some maybe extra focus on the angels and their role in the birth of our Savior. As you, I'm sure, know, God created many angels, an innumerable host of angels in a state of holiness before the creation of the world. And he designed these angels to have intellect, emotion, and a will. Now, the angels who did not follow, remember a third did, but those, the two-thirds who did not follow Lucifer, are confirmed in righteousness and commissioned by God to minister, to be ministering servants. And who do they minister to? They minister to Christ. They minister to you and me, to believers. They minister to the nations, and they minister also to the unbelievers. And their ministry to Christ included, of course, there's so much more than the angels did in their ministry to Christ, but it included the prediction of Jesus' birth to Mary. And that's found in Luke chapter 1, then to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And thereafter, as we'll look at this morning, the announcement of our Lord's actual birth in Luke chapter 2. And then following the visit of the wise men, if you recall, God used an angel to protect his holy child. And we see that in Matthew chapter 2. And let me read verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, and this is when, after the wise men left, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. But an angel told Mary and Joseph what they needed to do. Our focus this morning is on the angel's announcement of Christ's birth to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. And we have 3 points from verses 8 through 14. And they are, point number one, those chosen by God to hear of Christ's birth. Point number two, the one chosen of God to be Savior and Lord. And then point number three, those chosen to sing God's praise. Point number one, who was chosen of God to hear of Christ's birth? Well, verse 8 tells us, it answers our question. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Why did this glorious message of hope first come to shepherds? Why didn't it come to King Herod? Why didn't it come to the scribes and the Pharisees, the theological intellects of that day? Well, this message of hope came first to the shepherds, the one near the bottom of the social ladder. They were just above the lepers, and not to the high and mighty, because God draws near to the humble in heart, to the poor in spirit. Now, because sheep required constant care, shepherds were unable to comply with all the man-made Sabbath rules and regulations developed by the Pharisees. And as a result, they were viewed as being in continual violation of the religious laws and hence were ceremonially unclean. But again, these lowly, humble people were singled out to receive this great honor suggests that these shepherds were devout men who believed in the true and living God. They were Israelites who, like Simeon, were looking for the consolation of Israel and the redemption of Jerusalem. Now let me say, Christ's message of hope is not going to be accepted and believed by the self-righteous and the self-sufficient. In their thinking, they don't need a physician. They don't need a Savior. They don't need Jesus. And because Jesus knows their hearts, his response to them is, I came not to call the righteous, those trusting in their own good works, but the sinner, the lowly, the afflicted, which many times includes the outcast, the poor of society, those who are broken over their sins, those who are willing to humble themselves to repentance. Those are the ones that Christ has come to help, to heal, and to save. I think of what Christ said in Luke chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was Christ's response to that? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And who was the other? The Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now let me say to each one of you this morning, however high or low your status in life might be, if you are effectively to receive the announcement of Christ's birth, you too must see yourself as a sinner in need of the saving grace and mercy of the Lord. If you don't have that heart, if you don't have that receptive spirit, then really Christmas is really no more than Santa Claus is coming to town. Again, the proud and the self-righteous were not visited by the angel. Remember that, for again, in their minds, they didn't need a Savior. Well, notice how the announcement was made to these shepherds. While these shepherds were watching their sheep in the region round about Bethlehem, verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, or came over them. Now, this angel is not specifically identified, but in light of his earlier appearances, if you remember, to Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, and Mary, it was probably the angel Gabriel. And then adding immeasurably to the shepherd's shock and awe, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. In other words, the angel appeared, and what else appeared when the angel appeared? The glory, the Shekinah glory of God. God's glory blazed forth out of the darkness, and what a light it must have been. I bet it was brighter than the sun. Now, as you recall, throughout Scripture, God's glorious presence was manifested in brilliant light. When Adam and Eve were forever banished from the garden, they saw God's glory via the angel with a flaming sword in his hand. Further, God's glory was manifested to Israel in the wilderness. Remember, via the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And then later, at the dedication of the temple, or tabernacle, and thereafter the temple, there was this Shekinah glory of God seen, manifested. But after centuries of sin and rebellion, the glory of the Lord left the temple, symbolizing its withdrawal from Israel, and would not appear again until this very night, this holy night, when it signified that God's presence was once again entering the world. God's presence was once again entering the world. And this time, it was through the birth of the light of life. The actual light that gives life was being born. No wonder the glory of the Lord shone round about this angel that was about to make the most awesome announcement that man had ever heard. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Now, understandably, the shepherd's response, it was dark out, and all of a sudden this angelic creature appears, and then thereafter this brilliant, glorious light. The shepherd's response to the appearance of what they just saw, as Luke writes in verse 9, and they were sore afraid, which was the normal response by those in Scripture who were encountered by an angel. Certainly Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel are such examples. While seeing the shepherds fear, however, verse 10 says, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not. Now, there is a sense here in which it is right to fear God because the Bible declares the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the redeemed do not need to be terrified by God. Remember Paul's words to the Romans, for ye have not received the spirit, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And so there is a difference between being fearfully terrified and being fearfully respectful and reverent. And these shepherds did not need to fear. They did not need to be terrified, for this angel had come bearing good tidings or good news. He'd come to bring good news to them. The Greek word used here is evangelizo, from which we get our English word evangelist or evangelism. The angel's message was not one of judgment, but rather one of salvation, and thus it produces great joy to its listeners. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The joy that Peter described as unspeakable and full of glory. God's messenger was bringing to the shepherds the news that would set mankind free. And it shall be to all people, all who are willing to hear and receive this message of hope and salvation. Now, the Greek word used here for people is laos. That's the actual Greek word. Think of a country named Laos, and that means people. And it refers first to the Jews, and salvation is of the Jews. And you see that in John 4:22. But it also includes the Gentiles. Remember what Simeon said after he saw Jesus in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Simeon included both Jews and Gentiles. And so the gospel is for both Jews, Gentiles, because it's for all. And so in giving us the Great Commission, Christ said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so this announcement was made first to shepherds. They were the chosen ones to receive this announcement. Well, we come to our second point, and that is the one chosen by God to be Savior and Lord. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, and that little hamlet is called Bethlehem, which Micah referenced in his prophecy, chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come, that is, to be ruler over Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. This babe is born unto you in the city of David. And then the angel described God's chosen one with three titles. And the first is, and unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the one who was born to save his people from their sins, the one who came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, I think sometimes the Christmas story is so common to us that it can so quickly lose its meaning. The angel was saying to the shepherds, there is a babe that has just been born in Bethlehem, and he is Savior. Friends, there's only one Savior who has ever been born, and he is Jesus. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. You and I would not be sitting here if Jesus' Savior had not been born. That's a big deal. Amen? The angel said, unto you is born this day a Savior. Now, too often Jesus is presented as the one who will make your life all the better. He will save your marriage, give you a good marriage. He will bless you financially. He will give you good health. He will make you successful. All you need to do is add Jesus to your life. Well, let me just say, Jesus certainly does make a huge difference. I mean, he makes a huge difference in every area of life. Every good thing is because of Jesus. And so, certainly he does make a huge difference, but Jesus came not so that we'll have good marriages, but if we follow him, we will. But Jesus came, friends, to remedy man's most pressing need, and that is that man is a sinner. And because man is a sinner, man sins. And sin has consequences. Sin mars. Sin destroys. Sin brings death. Friend, and we're all sinners, which means we all need a Savior. We desperately need a Savior. And the angel said, shepherds, God is sending you your Savior. Amen? He's sending you your Savior. And so the true gospel message is that Jesus has come into this world to rescue you and me, to rescue us from our sin, to save us from our sin and its guilt, its consequences, which is death. And therefore the angel appropriately said to the shepherds, for unto you is born a Savior. Which prompts me to ask, has he saved you? Has he saved you? He came to save. Has he saved you? Then this angel's second descriptive title is Christ. This one born in the city of David is a Savior, and he is Christ. Now, the Old Testament counterpart of Christ is Messiah. And both mean the anointed one, the one placed in a high office who is worthy of exaltation and honor. Christ wears a number of hats. As the scriptures point out, Christ is God's appointed king. He's King of Kings. He is one who will sit on David's throne and reign forever and ever. Christ is our great high priest. He is the mediator between God and man. Whoever lives to make intercession for us. And Christ is also prophet, making him God's greatest spokesman. Friends, it's a big deal that Jesus is the Christ. He is prophet, he is priest, and he is king of the universe. And the angel said, shepherds, not only is this one born in Bethlehem Savior, your Savior, mankind's Savior, but he is king. Is Herod king? Jesus is king. God's final and greatest spokesman, Jesus, is the Christ. And then the angel called Jesus, and this is the third descriptive title, and he is Lord. Now, obviously, the title Lord is really a term of respect and esteem. Remember, over in England, in their government, they have the House of Commons and they have the House of Lords. And the House of Lords is really made up of the royalty of England. But in the context here, Lord is a divine title, meaning to call this child Lord is to say Jesus is God. Wow. shepherds, the one that has just been born is God. That would get my attention. Lord in the Greek conveys all that is implied by God's name Yahweh in the Hebrew. And so Jesus is Lord. And to be saved, you and I must confess that Jesus is God to the glory of God the Father. In other words, just to be very simplistic, we must believe that Jesus is God. And so again, the angel said to the shepherds, this one born today is a Savior. He's the Savior. He is Messiah, and he is God. And I say, come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, this newborn King. Well, following this amazing announcement, the angel gave the shepherds a sign by which they could recognize the Savior. Notice verse 12, "And ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, honestly, the fact that Jesus was wrapped in cloths was not unusual. All Jewish babies were wrapped in cloths. What narrowed the shepherds' search was that Jesus would be lying in a manger from which horses and cattle fed, which tells us even at his birth, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. This one who was born Savior, Christ, and God was laid in a manger. He made himself of no reputation. No wonder he is attracted to the humble. That's who he is. Which brings us now to our third point, and that's those chosen to sing God's praise. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now, how many, you ask, is a multitude of angels? Well, we're talking myriads of angels. And a myriad in the Greek is 10,000, which tells us there were at least 10,000 times 10,000 angels joining. And if you do the multiplication, that's 100 million. One author believes every righteous angel was there, joining this angel in announcing Christ's birth. Why wouldn't you want to be there? And then what did this multitude of angels do? This heavenly host praised God. They ascribed glory to God, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you know what an adverb is? It adds to verbs. Adverbs do other things too, but usually when you think of an adverb, it describes a verb. He runs quickly. Well, the adverb here is he so loved the world that he gave his Son. And what did the angels do? They ascribed glory to the one who so loved. One Christmas carol that describes this scene says, "Angels from the realms of glory wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story now proclaim," what? "Messiah's birth." Job tells us that at the creation of the world, the morning stars, the angels sang together, and the angels shouted for joy. Well, these same angels did some serious shouting as they joined forces, as they joined voices in celebrating the greatest creation of all, the birth of the God-man, the birth of the perfect, sinless Savior. It was time to shout. It was time to give glory to God. And so they said, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God who resides in heaven, and on earth the lowest place in comparison with heaven. They then added peace, goodwill toward men. Or we could say peace among men with whom God is pleased. The Greek literally says here, men of his good pleasure. You know, God's peace doesn't just come to anyone randomly. It comes to those with whom God is pleased. And this peace is the peace with God, which results in salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this goodwill and peace is God's gift to those who are the objects of his goodwill. Which brings me to ask, have you been favored by God's grace? If you have, then you know of this peace and you know of this wholeness. It comes to the seeking heart of those who declare, like the shepherds, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. In the play, A Charlie Brown Christmas, a sad Charlie Brown asks Linus, does anyone know the meaning of Christmas? And Linus responds, I do. And then he proceeds to quote Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, which we have considered this morning. Friends, and I hope I'm not trite when I say this, but might we, like Linus, know the true meaning of Christmas? That Jesus has come, Jesus who is Savior, Christ, and God, Lord, to save us and to grant us, you talk about a gift, to grant us peace and goodwill. This angelic announcement of Christ's birth has been given to you. My questions are you able to hear it because you too have a humble and contrite heart? Have you personally believed in this one whom God has revealed to be Savior, Christ, and Lord? And if so, God's desire for you is to join in singing angelic praise to Christ, giving as well glory to the Father.